But we had Titus 1:7. It is talking to pastors of churches. We're to be stewards of the Lord's word. And 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Verse 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So as ministers and pastors, as teachers out there and stewards of God's word, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. In other words, we are to teach the whole counsel of God, not just part of it, not just the love part, you know, that's really good. And listen, I know God is love. I know God loves me. He sent his son to die for me, for you as well, for basically all mankind. And that's important to know. But there's a whole lot more that needs to be taught. There's how we live our lives, how we present ourselves out into the public. But as pastors and teachers, listen, we have a lot to do. We're accountable for how we teach the Word of God and what we'll leave off. For instance, this morning's sermon, I could have just said, "No, Lord, I ain't going to teach. I'm not going to preach that." But that's what the Lord laid on my heart. I am to preach the full counsel of God, not just part of it, but all of it. And if I don't do that, then I'm not taking my responsibilities very, very serious. Deacons, I'm going to pick on the deacons. Deacons are stewards. Acts chapter 6, the book of Acts chapter 6. And like I said, we're going to cover quite a few scriptures. So if you want to write it down, that's fine. You can write those down instead of turning to each one of them right now. But Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." In other words, there were some people being neglected. There were some things being neglected in the church there at Jerusalem. And so they pulled these guys out. And now they out of the congregation. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And many of us have read this, but nonetheless, we'll go there. Verses 8 through 10, it says, "Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless." Now, deacons are to be examples in faithfulness. They're to be examples in spirituality. They're to be examples in good works. You can go on and on and on. They're to be examples in having compassion toward the brethren and in the church and the sisters in the church. The people that come, they're to show that compassion. They're to be leaders in all of these things, in faithfulness. Listen, when the church doors are open, deacons ought to be there. When the offering plate comes around, deacons ought to be some of the first to throw their tithes in, some of the first to throw their offerings in. They have to set the right examples, and they have to be found faithful in all that they do. Now, every member of a church is a steward. Let's go to 1 Peter. See, now I'm going to quit picking on just the preachers and the deacons, and we're going to go over here to 1 Peter and chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11 says, "Every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak of as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So really every church member is a steward to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are some requirements of stewards as members of a New Testament church. The most basic requirement of every member of a New Testament church is an unwavering faithfulness to the house of God. An unwavering faithfulness to the house of God. We need to keep in mind that this is only part of our reasonable service. Chapter 12 of Romans, verse 1, he tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And we're to be... let's go read that. We're to be striving to be what the Lord wants us. But let's go read Romans 12:1, because I was about to quote it and it just slipped my mind. That's interesting how that works. That may have something to do with age. I don't know. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. The last few words here, though, is important, which is your reasonable service. It's a reasonable service. It's not an unreasonable thing to be asked. It's a reasonable service for us to be faithful and unwavering in our faithfulness to the Lord. We also need to bear in mind, and I won't go there, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 and 26. It tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But now verse 26 says, if we sin willfully. There again, we're to be unwavering in faithfulness to the house of God. So we need to bear in mind when we decide that, well, maybe we'll go fishing instead of going to church, or maybe we'll go do this or do that instead of going to church. We're not being faithful stewards. There are additional requirements of stewardship. First Peter, back over to First Peter chapter 4 again. I should have hung on to that page. First Peter chapter 4 again, and verse 7, I believe it's 7 through 9. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch and unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity, love, in other words, among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. So we need to be sober-minded. We need to watch unto prayer. In other words, we need to be watching for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be praying. We need to have fervent love one for another. We need to be hospitable. We need to have hospitality about us. And use all that God has given us for His glory. However the Lord has blessed you, we should be using it for the glory of God. A steward is responsible for his works or her works, and as I mentioned earlier, is accountable. Notice a parable. We're going to go look at a parable, Matthew chapter 25. Let's go over to the book of Matthew and go to chapter 25. That's right before chapter 26. Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to look at verse 15. Matthew 25 and verse 15. He says, and unto one... Well, let's read 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his own, according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Now let's go down here to verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came, because the master came back, and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 22, he said, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. They were busy with what the Lord had left them doing. We need to ask ourselves, are we busy with what the Lord has left us to do? For one, we're to be faithful to church. For two, Paul said, bring the tithes and storehouse and offerings into the storehouse on the first day of the week. By the way, that would be on Sunday. Pastor, we're not going to church right now. Well, that's true. We're not meeting, but we're still required, if possible. And I know times have been really hard, but we're still required to pay our tithes, to pay our offerings. We still should want to do that from a loving heart for what the Lord did to us. And by the way, you can get in touch with me or you can get in touch with Brother Tony about it. And we'll take care of that. I'm in no means telling you that you got to do this. I'm telling you the same way I do at church when I preach and we're all meeting there at church. We ought to want to give. Blessed is those that want to give. And so we see these people were busy at what they were doing, busy at the Lord left them to do. We're to do what? Matthew 28, 19 through 20. We're to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to win souls or at least attempt to bring them into church. And then they're to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then we're to disciple them. Now, look at verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talents in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. I don't want to hear that I've been wicked. I don't want to hear that I've been slothful. I want to hear well done. I want to hear you've done what you were supposed to do. You've finished your course. You've kept the faith. And you're ready to be offered, is what Paul said. That's what I want to hear from our Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. We are going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account. 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us that we are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 5:10. And we're going to be there. Now, I'm not giving an account. I'm not going to be judged on my sins. All of that was taken care of on the cross of Calvary. But one day I'm going to have to stand there and the Lord's going to look at me and say, now, I left you to do this. How did you do? Of course, he knows how I done. We got to decide, what do we want to hear? Thou good and faithful servant? Or the other? A steward, in other words, must strive lawfully in the Lord's church, really, to receive the reward of brideship. So we've been teaching about the bride of Christ. And we have to be striving and reaching forward to be a disciple of Christ. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:5. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it said, "And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." In other words, if you enter a race, and we've entered a race, so to speak, as Paul laid it out, we've entered this race of the Christian life. We've entered this striving to serve the Lord in the Christian life because he asked us to be like him and to walk in his footsteps. We've entered that race and we're striving along there. Are we really, or are we just walking? See, we're supposed to be putting out all we can to cross the finish line and to get that crown, to get those rewards that are offered. I'm not a Christian just because I want these rewards. Well, that's all fine, well, and good. I want to serve the Lord just because of what the Lord done for me. But in the process, the Lord's offered some blessings. Why not get all of the blessings the Lord has offered us? Why not have them? You know, why not take the extra benefit? What a blessing it would be throughout this life that if we served the Lord and he blessed us in our daily lives because of what we were doing, why not do that? It would be kind of stupid not to. It'd be kind of like if you go to work somewhere and some guy says, you know, I'm going to pay you $20 an hour. And at the end of each week, if you're here every day and you work your 8 hours, I'm going to give you an extra $500 bonus. Well, I don't care nothing about that. I'm just going to do my service and the way I feel like I should do it. And you keep your $500. That'd be kind of dumb. You'd want to go. You're going to be there every day anyway. You might as well do the work that the man's laid out for you to do and get that extra $500 bonus. What a blessing that would be in our lives, especially in a time like right now. So it's the same thing with the Lord. The Lord says, hey, you get saved, you trust him, we're going to heaven. But you serve me the way you should, and man, there's a lot more blessings to follow. The Lord's offered it to us. Why not take it? Amen? Philippians. I don't know if I didn't hear anybody say amen, but anyway, no, I'm kidding. I know. Chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 14. Chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 14. Write it down. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul was pressing toward. Paul was talking about that. And finally, over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I've kept the faith. I finished my course. I've fought the good fight. Hey, I'm ready to be offered. We need to be like Paul and say that. Now, we are commanded to be good stewards of the time God has given us. Now, flip over a couple of chapters backwards from Philippians, and you'll find chapter 2 of Ephesians. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, before we got saved, our time was wasted in sinful desires. Our time was wasted just serving the flesh. But now that we've gotten saved, listen, we ought not to be wasting our time anymore. We should be putting our time forth as good stewards to God and serving him. Now, we need to use our time for Christ wisely. And why would that be? Let's go to the book of James. The book of James and chapter 4. Find Hebrews. James ain't very far off. Keep turning the pages. You'll get to James chapter 4. Why is it that we don't need to say, well, you know, I'm kind of young and I've got these things I want to do, or, well, I've just got some things I want to get done. I want to do these things. Look at James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. For there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Why should we judge another? Now, I look at people and I say, well, you know, they ought to be doing this and doing that. We can look at people and say, well, the Lord said we'd know them by their fruit. And I'm to preach messages the Lord gives me to preach. But he says here, look at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away. In other words, I don't need to worry about what this person's doing, that person. I need to worry about me. I need to make sure that I'm serving the way I'm supposed to serve. And I'm not supposed to put it off and say, well, you know, my son always made fun of this. He said, he turned it around one time. He said, why do today what you can put off till tomorrow? But that's the way many believers think. Well, I won't worry about it today. We'll do it tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Our life is but a vapor. It just shows up, gone. Look at verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So really and truly, when the Lord lays it on our heart to do something, we ought to do it. We ought to get after it. If the Lord lays it on your heart to speak to someone, you ought to speak to that individual. You may not have tomorrow to do so, or they may not have tomorrow to do so, to hear you. We have no idea what tomorrow holds. All right. We need to use our time for Christ, for we shall give an account to him, as we've already mentioned, for how we lived and how we served him. Again, Romans 14. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and we're going to read verse 10 and 12. Or verses 10 through 12, excuse me. Romans 14, 10 through 12. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of themselves to God. Every one of us is going to give an account. I am going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day, and I'm going to give an account of the things I've done since I've been saved for the Lord, but also the time wasted for the Lord. Now, I could have not done a Sunday school lesson this morning. I could have not preached tonight. I could skip Wednesday night, let you guys just do it on your own. But I feel that I'm still the pastor of Wagon Wheel, although we're not meeting together in person, but I still feel I'm supposed to put this out there, whether you tune in and listen or not. I still feel that's my responsibility as the pastor, that the Lord has placed me the flock over that flock to deliver the Sunday school message, unless I got a Sunday school teacher doing it. And if I'm not able to do it, I'm going to have somebody do that. If I'm not able to preach for some reason on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, I'm going to have somebody make sure that you guys get that message, because that's my responsibility and I'm held accountable for that. And I'm going to have to stand in heaven one day, stand in the air with Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. And he's going to say, why you were doing this, why didn't you have somebody fill in for you? That's about all I'm going to be able to say. I don't want to be able to say that. I want him to say, outstanding. You done what you were supposed to do. You're being held accountable. And we are. We're going to be held accountable. Excuse me. Parents, you're going to be held accountable for why you didn't get your child in church. One of these days, if you're saved, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord is going to say, why was your child on the baseball field or out in the boat fishing or skiing or rodeoing or whatever it might be that you do? Why was that child not in church when it should have been? Why did you not have devotions with that child? Why did that child not see you pray? And why didn't you pray with that child? One of these days, that's going to be asked. See, we don't think about that, but they're our responsibility. Now, once your children get on up in age and they've moved out of the house, hey, they're on their own. They don't want to go to church. That's their problem. God will deal with that. But even then, I'm still supposed to cut in if I see one of my daughters or my son, and you call them up and ask them, has dad ever scolded you since you've been out of the house and married for not being the Christian you ought to be? And every one of them will tell you, yes, he has, even though it wasn't his business. But the Lord's told me to do that. Eli lost his life over that. He didn't get on to his kids when he should have. So my job as a parent, honestly, don't ever quit. They don't quit being my children just because they grow up and get married and go out and do stupid things. They're still my children. I have to hand it to my kids. To my knowledge, they're in church. And that's a good thing. I hope they're in church every time the door's open, but I got a feeling some of them get lazy. But they'll have to answer to God for that, because I've told them what they need to be doing. I set the right example for them, although I didn't live a very good life when they were young and at home. But nonetheless, they saw us read the Bible. We read, where's that book at? I've got a book right here. It's right here. Our book was much smaller than this one. Correct me if I'm wrong, but my son got me this book. And he got this for a present for us. And it's called The Pilgrim's Progress. And it's John Bunyan. It comes in a much smaller book, by the way. But we read this book to our children. We read The Pilgrim's Progress to our children. We use it as a devotional time, and every one of them can still remember this. It's still there, and they can go back to that and they can say, well, you know, my dad wasn't a perfect person, but nonetheless, he made sure, and we had prayer, and he made sure that I heard the word of God. And we read this as a devotion, and I challenge anybody listening, it's called The Pilgrim's Progress, and it's by John Bunyan. Get that book and use it for devotions to your children or your grandchildren, for that matter. But it is a very good book, and John Bunyan was a very godly man. I challenge anybody to do that. They should. Now, I'm not going to finish this lesson because I don't want to rush through it, and we got quite a few more points. But tonight, I want to ask, and I'm going to pick back up when I don't have my pen with me. I'll mark it later, but I'm going to pick back up there the next time we meet. But tonight, I want to ask, how is your life with the Lord? If you left today, if the Lord called you home today, and you could, it don't have to be from the coronavirus, by the way. You might just fall over dead. Are you ready to present yourself to the Lord? Are you ready to hear what the Lord is willing to say? Because see, when we leave this life, it's done. We can't change anything. We can't back up and say, well, I need to change that. No, it's over with. So my challenge to you is, if you have children, if you have grandchildren, teach them about the Lord at home. Make sure that they're in church to the best you can. I realize with grandkids, that's a mom and dad's responsibility. But nonetheless, we should be at least pushing that issue and showing, setting that example. Have you talked to other people about the Lord? Are you setting the right example in the stores? Because right now, going to the store is irritating. You go in there and everybody got them stupid masks on and like they gonna breed some horrible thing. Listen, it's, I don't even want to get into that. We're social distancing. You breathe wrong around somebody. You speak to somebody and boy, they back up and look at you like, whoa. It's ridiculous. That is a blatant attack from Satan to try to separate us from doing that. Listen, you get the opportunity, you be the witness that the Lord has told us to be. And if you were listening tonight and you have no idea if you're saved, if you don't know whether or not you're saved, if you can honestly answer that question with, well, I'm not sure, then I'll go ahead and tell you, you probably ain't saved. 99.99% chance you ain't. You need to, right now, where you're at, go to the Lord in prayer. Let God know that you believe in His Son Jesus. You believe what Jesus did for you on the cross. And ask the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Ask Jesus. Say, Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. And He will. He will in no wise cast you out. But it's up to you. He doesn't force anybody. Thank you very much for listening this evening. Hope this has helped you some way, form, or fashion. Remember the prayer requests. Keep them going. You may not remember each one, but the Lord knows what they are. Pray for each other. Pray that we can get done with this. Pray that, what is this, phase one, they call it, will go well. And phase two, He'll say, go back to church. And yes, it's going to be with some stipulations, I assure you. But nonetheless, it'll be a real blessing. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank You for this time that we've had to study. Ask, Lord, that You would bless, Lord, our nation, our state. And as we go through this phase one, that everything would go well and that phase two would kick off and that we'll be able to go back to Your house where we can all come in together as a church and serve You. And we thank You for it. We do thank You for social media, that we're able to get this out even in this time of separation. And these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.